Shalom, Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, some words of the Hebrew poet Joseph Isserlby keep thrusting themselves into my mind. If I quote them to you, and if you have been listening to my last three messages, you will understand why they recur. Here they are. My song is my strength, the strength of rocks. Since we have been examining that superb song of Moses, which describes the God of Israel as the rock, you will understand how the association of a rock and a song so dominates my thoughts. Together we have viewed Israel and the rock. Israel and the retribution. Israel and the reactionaries. And now we are to view Israel in relation to the redemption, as portrayed in the sublime last stanza of the song, the 43rd verse of Deuteronomy chapter 32. There has been expressed dissatisfaction with several of the English translations of this wonderful verse. Because of this, I shall select those Hebrew words upon which rests concord, both in translation and interpretation. We shall place these words down upon any doubtful ground, and you will find them to be firm and strong stepping stones, which will safeguard our interpretational and translational feet from slipping. First, however, let me say that no doubt whatever exists regarding the meat and message of this last verse. No matter how phrased or interpreted, it is always and ever good news. Let me put your mind at instant rest on this point by quoting you now more than one English translation. This will launch you into the theme with a glow of satisfaction and a whetted appetite for more to come. Now listen carefully. Sing aloud, O ye nations, of his people. For he doth render vengeance to his adversaries, and doth make expiation for the land of his people. That is one of our Jewish translations. Now here is the English authorized version. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Here, finally, is Isaac Lisa's rendering. Speak aloud, O ye nations, the praises of his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants, and vengeance will he render to his adversaries, and forgive his land and his people. In substance, you will now have seen that these variations are not really variations at all. They all move in the same direction and delight in the same theme. But, my friends, there is yet even more delight, even more hope, even more comfort, tucked away in the Hebrew text. And because so very many of you have written to me expressing your relish of my word explorations, I feel encouraged to gratify your appetite for this fare just a little more. No matter how we read the Hebrew text, the first line of this glorious stanza bursts upon us like a herald trumpet, announcing the banishment of world woe and the dawn of universal joy. Packed into 13 Hebrew characters comprising just three words, we discern the answer to the prayers of the ages. Harninu goyim emo. Let us look into this phrase. The verb ranan, both in biblical and modern Hebrew, means to rejoice, to shout for joy, and hence to sing. Moreover, it is in the active, causative, imperative, masculine, plural. Sorry for that little bit of grammar, but it was necessary. The noun with which it is associated means the non-Jewish nations, and the last word of the three means his people, the Jewish people. The sense, then, of this grand phrase is that God is issuing a command to the non-Jewish nations that emphatic, considerable, and universal rejoicing be expressed. And the reason for this international, universal gladness? The reason is his people, God's people, the Jewish people. So far, so good. Now, why his people? Well, let us be thorough in our scrutiny of this portion of God's word. We shall be well repaid. The verse reveals that there are three actions taken by God which relate to four features. God avenges, God makes to return vengeance, God strongly expiates. Now we shall attach to these three actions the four elements to which they relate. If we do this, we find 1. God avenges the blood of his servants. 2. God makes to return vengeance upon his adversaries. 3. God atones for his land. 4. God atones for his people. Reduced to the irreducible minimum, we find that judgment and atonement constitute the bedrock of the divine pledge and prophecy embedded in this section of the Song of Moses. Observe the order also. First the judgment, then the joy. Purging precedes purity. I would call your attention also to two factors of great importance and which are exhibited with consistency throughout our Jewish holy scriptures. First and always, it is God, not man, who provides and makes expiation, atonement for sin. Secondly, the earth, the land, is linked to and participant in the effects of sin and the divine atonement made for sin. Let me show you this. You will find it so interesting. We shall go right back to the beginning, back to the scene and circumstance of sin's entry into the human race, back to the garden in Eden. In the third chapter of Genesis, it is recorded that after the sin of Adam, through whom sin entered into humanity as such, God, for the sake of Adam, placed a curse upon the ground. Do you remember? Imposing upon it a restricted fruitfulness in its yield of produce for human consumption. You will recall that. God originally created Adam in his image and after his likeness, but when Adam marred that image and likeness by sin, Adam was divinely expelled from the garden and the ground divinely cursed. Already, I am sure you are beginning to grasp the significant parallel. God originally created the Jewish nation, Israel, to reflect his glorious character and polity so as to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Israel was to be a corporate entity, a nation created, as it were, in the image and likeness of God. But when Israel as a nation failed, Israel was divinely expelled from the land of milk and honey, and that land was divinely cursed. God said to Israel, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land of Israel shall yield her produce. But if ye will not hearken unto me, your land shall not yield her produce." Here surely is a remarkable parallel in divine principle. And we can now understand why, in this wonderful Song of Moses, both land and people are linked together in the great atonement for sin, which God has so graciously promised and provided. I say provided, because I am persuaded that the one to whom reference is made in our Jewish New Testament, and who himself claims the messianic message and mission, made that great atonement for Israel and for all the world. The scriptures are clear and emphatic that there will be no true lasting world peace and prosperity until Israel as a nation is restored to his pristine, predestined position in God's perfect polity for humanity. This last verse of Moses' sublime prophetic song is like entering the portals of heaven. Indeed, this is no poetic flight of fancy, for here we are granted a prophetic presentation of the divine answer to an oft-uttered and oft-misunderstood threefold petition. May thy name be sanctified, thy kingdom established, thy will be obeyed. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. How significant, then, is the national re-emergence of Israel among the non-Jewish nations of the world? Surely Israel's long, dark midnight of sorrow is passing away, and already the streaks of light and hope are promising the dawn of a new day. But those same lightening horizons have their angry overtones. Remember, before the joy, the judgment. If the joy is nearing, how much nearer the judgment? Yet, if the ultimate issue brings with it divinely initiated world peace, prosperity, and security, no wonder we read, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people." I have made a careful study of the contemporary international situation, particularly with regard to Israel and a great anti-theocratic totalitarian power north of Israel. This study has now been put in booklet form entitled Peril from the North. You might care to inquire about it. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha, V'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.